What's up, guys? You're listening to the SSB podcast. I am Sam Stroud. Today, we're going to be doing things a little bit differently. There's no Jeremy. There's no me and Jeremy. The interview is going to be a little bit different. I want to get to that, but first, I want to talk about Pixie Set, our new sponsor. They create beautiful, elegant galleries, a simple way for us, the photographers, to share our photos with the clients. I use it to get my images to my brides every single time. It gives them the opportunity to download web resolution, full resolution images. They can order prints. They can share to every social medium to their heart's content. It's beautiful. Check out pixieset.com. They're also going to be giving away free product, but go ahead and check them out. Tell them I said, hey, they're fantastic. This episode, we're talking to Megan Abel. Megan Abel, if you haven't heard yet, found negatives, or I guess technically positives. She found these images at an antique mall, and she is on the hunt, and it's breaking the internet. She wants to find the people in these transparencies. It's these two women. The images are hauntingly beautiful. I mean, these images are so well done. I thought when I first saw them, some hipster did these photos in 2014 and they were just now discovered, but that's not the case. And we actually kind of go through that a little bit with her in the interview. So this is a really interesting story. It's really intriguing. I want to help her find this person or these people. The people are probably dead, but I'd love to hear the story, the outcome. So I hope you enjoy this. Take a listen. Here we go. Yes, I don't mind that either. I just talk at that person, and if they respond, great. If they don't, whatever. Right. All right, so you're Megan Abel. You're from Richmond, Virginia.
Yes.
And you're a wedding photographer in Richmond, Virginia.
Correct.
But unlike all of these other podcasts that I have recorded and done, we're not going to talk about your wedding photography. I mean, we can a little bit. I like your work. It's great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But I am really super interested, as we've alluded to before, about these negatives you found.
Right.
Let me just sort of shorten the story and you can kind of fill in the blanks. You go to a thrift store, right?
Antique small thrift store.
Okay, in Richmond.
Correct.
And did you find a camera or was it just a sleeve of negatives?
It was four strips of what I now know are transparencies, but I didn't know that at the time.
Oh, okay.
Because they're positive, they're not negatives.
Oh, okay.
I learned so much on this journey. but they were 2¼ inches by 2¼ inch frames on four strips in plastic sleeves.
Okay. Okay. And so you find these and you instantly, like, obviously you could see them because they're positives. It's just like a little print.
Yeah.
So are you thinking to yourself, oh, these are really neat? Or do you feel like at that point you're like, holy crap. Because I'll be honest, when I saw the scans, I was like, oh my gosh, these are incredibly beautiful.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
It was more initially, because when you're thrift shopping, antique hunting, you're just kind of looking for things that spark your interest, you know, in a sea of everything.
Right.
You want to find something that is super interesting. And we have these windows in my apartment that are frosted glass. And I thought it would be perfect to hang these up on initially. Because, like, initially I saw them and I was like, these are the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because I've actually never found anything like that. And I've been through a lot of boxes of photographs.
Right.
And stuff like that. But the most you usually get is a is a few sleeves of scratched up 35 millimeter negatives.
Right. I found that before. I found negatives.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not like an antique shopper, but if every now and again I'll stop in. And I one time found like old expired film from the 1950s and 60s, which was fun. Every now and again, I'll see a really nice little camera. But I feel like what you found was so unique and rare.
It was. I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I don't know how rare it was. Obviously, since apparently nobody's ever really found things like this before, it is rare. But yeah, it just struck me straight off because I'd never seen anything like that.
Right. And so to fill in the listener here, these are transparencies of these two women, right? It's two.
Yes, it is different women.
And they're at the ocean and... none of them are. I think you see one face, like from the side. It's like a side profile shot.
The most that you see in any of them is a side profile, which has made this all so much more difficult.
Well, the one that I feel like, if I remember correctly, I also. So it's obviously on the beach. She's on the rock. She's wearing like a red dress. She looks Hispanic or African American. I don't know. It's hard to say, but maybe it's just because it's dark. But it also looks like it's a longer exposure, like almost right at sunset.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure because in the one with the girl, because we refer to them as the girl in blue or the girl in red.
Yes, the girl in red is the one I'm talking about.
The girl in red, she has the moon. You can see the crescent moon behind her. And I feel like these had to be, you know... maybe even up to a full like 1 second exposure.
Yeah.
With that one, especially since, you know, the color of the background is so present.
Yeah.
Opposed to just kind of like a silhouetted snapshot. But it's interesting also because in all the ones that have the waves, they seem to be captured in action, like the motion is frozen instead of, you know, like a smooth.
Yeah, it's not blurry.
That you normally get with the longer exposure. So.
Right. So when you found these, did you say anything right away to the shop owner, or did you take them home and look through them and then decide, man, I want to find these people?
It was more, in all honesty, most antiques. Mall owners and thrift shop owners that I've met don't really have much interest in kind of the stuff that their vendors are selling, because normally the way that it works is they rent out booths and spaces that other dealers and vendors will come in and rent out.
Right.
And then, so you're actually buying from somebody who isn't even there. But, you know, and they get like a portion for selling it at that mall. And so he wasn't really interested when I bought them. The only thing he got like excited about, he was like, oh, you get a 15% discount because they're on sale today. So oh,
sweet. Thanks, man.
I know. Great. Awesome. I'll take it.
Wow. That's interesting. And it's funny too, that they would have zero idea. Like, well, we don't know. Someone just dropped them off. I guess why would they? They have people come in and drop stuff off all the time, right?
Yeah. As long as their vendors, you know, pay for their booths to rent, I don't think they really care so much.
So, yeah.
And they don't ask for any information unless, I guess, they're a personal friend, maybe.
Yeah. The intriguing thing to me, and I don't want to get stuck on this, but the intriguing thing to me is that they're in Richmond. Because you've stated, I mean, as I was looking more and more and more and more, you found the location. Or you feel like you know where the location of the shoot happened.
It's so funny. People have become so invested in this. And I feel like I should be doing more, but everybody's been doing it for me. And they're much more, well, you know, well-versed in things like this than I have been. But I had a team of people who I've been emailing, and they have, you know, locals from where we think the location is, where we're pretty certain in Playa del Rey, California, we're pretty sure it's Dockweiler Beach.
Okay.
But there's potential for another beach that's like right down the road from it as well. But it's all in the same general area of Southern California. And so, yeah, it's so weird how they were taken on one coast and ended up on the completely opposite.
Yeah, they ended up in Richmond. And then the other, it's sort of, it is a little haunting, but like the image of these women and specifically the woman in the, I guess it's a blue or green dress. There's one specific, well, there's two specifically, there's one where she's standing in the water and the water is rushing around her and she's looking off sort of kind of three quarters to the right. And then there's the one where she's walking into the water really deep and you see the orange, you know, sort of the haze behind her and the water is almost black. I mean, they're incredibly like beautiful. And it obviously, I don't know if you have a theory or any idea behind what they are for, if it was like this guy taking pictures of these two women but they're so well done. I don't know that I could even do that well with these today with my Mark III. I'm not sure I could produce images like that.
Well, I think we all know as digital photographers that film is just on a whole different level.
Right. And if you don't believe that, ask a film photographer. They'll let you know.
Oh, they will. Yes. As in myself, that's how I started.
Right.
That's, and these older cameras, especially the medium format, were incredibly well made too. And so they were definitely much more capable, I think, especially retaining all those highlights. That's amazing.
Right.
You still see details.
Yeah. It's
incredible. In these women's silhouettes, which is unheard of. But yeah, it's just, they knew what they were doing, because even if you're a decent photographer, getting that lucky being an amateur is highly unlikely. Especially probably posing them and like, you know, setting the scene and creating that composition to evoke feelings. But I was talking with someone who said, wouldn't it be funny if this was an amateur and they just got ridiculously lucky?
Yeah.
And well, it came out amazing. And they were like, well, I just clicked a button.
And it's 12 exposures, right?
It is. I'm pretty sure that the roll was 16 exposures,
okay.
Maybe. We found that second set of transparencies.
Was it, so you found initially one set and then you found a second set? You went back and found a second set?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Yes. We had one of the local newscasters, they were doing the story on it. They ended up going over there to kind of interview and ask questions about the, you know, the booth and everything.
Right.
And he apparently dug through the box and found two more that I had not seen, because I dug through that box for 20 minutes and I hadn't seen the other two. But they also, if you've ever been to an antiques mall, those booths are just chock full of stuff. So it's not surprising that I did not find the other two.
Yeah. So there's two sets of these transparencies. Have you talked to any experts as far as, you know, or who know film that know, hey, we know it's 120. This is the kind of film that this was. Because, you know, I mean, we could look at a digital photo and we could say, well, this was taken at this time, this. Has anybody looked at it and said, this is the kind of film this came from? I mean, we know it's 120, but
it's still, people are still on the fence. I haven't been able to, and it's only been, a week and a half since I just started this quest. And so I haven't been able to get into contact with anyone who I can physically take these to and they can examine necessarily. the only guy who's seen them has just been like, they're old. They're just really old. And I was like,
that's yeah, these are old. well, no kidding. But, they're in an antique shop. We know they're old. That's funny.
You'd be surprised some of the things that people try and pass off as antiques that are not old. They're from like 1998.
Okay.
I guess technically now, gosh, is that vintage now?
I think so.
That's scary.
Yeah, I mean, tapes and tape decks and whatnot, I guess it would be.
Yeah, VHS tapes.
So you're still basically, you're in the infancy of all of this. Like I said, I read this, I heard about it. Trevor Daly posted or wrote something on SLRlounge.com, and I was totally intrigued by it. So we just at this point know it was shot on 120, and we know where it was shot.
Pretty much. We know that the type of film that it is, it was shot on a 6x6 camera because the frames are a perfect square.
Okay.
And we know that it has to be slide transparency film, which does narrow it down, but not, but so much, I guess.
Yeah.
And we have like an approximate age of when it would have been done. So hopefully when I am able to kind of take some better photographs of the transparencies themselves, that will lend more light to kind of determine what kind of film it is.
Yeah. And you've been, I mean, totally, as soon as I, like I said, I read it on SLR Lounge, but you as soon as I put it into Google, it, I mean, you've been interviewed by, it seems like, thousands of people.
I got to Skype video call in on a BBC show.
Wow.
So that was life changing.
Yeah.
And then once it hit BBC, that's when it just went international. And so, yeah, it started and it grew quicker than I could have ever imagined.
And people are emailing you and contacting you? Emailing,
messaging, commenting, posting, gosh, everything.
And it's been shared on Facebook thousands of times, I'm sure.
I think it's at like 20,000 shares.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That is, it's pretty, yeah. It got to like, I think it was at like 3,000 and I was like, what is happening? I was like, this is ridiculous. This is insane. I couldn't really contain my feelings. I was like, they tell you what it's like to have a post go viral. And in my initial post, I was like, wouldn't it be cool if we made this go viral and figured it out, you know? And then I was like, does anybody really know what viral means until you experience
right,
it?
Right, right. Yeah, I don't.
I certainly didn't know.
Yeah, I've had a couple things kind of get reshared, you know, a few hundred times. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of neat. But
yeah.
That's insane.
That's what I was expecting. Like, you know, people talk about it in Virginia. It might be a cool thing.
Right.
And then it just took on a life of its own.
Well, I knew it was big when I read it because, and I was intrigued by it because I don't generally care about what's going on. This sounds terrible. Oh my gosh, this sounds terrible. But I don't generally care about what's going on in the quote unquote photography world. but I mean, if it's a new camera or something, I get excited about it. But, but you know, if I as soon as I saw it, and I think too, it's the impact of the images. Like as soon as you see the images, you're like, wait a minute, this is incredible. It's beautiful. So people have told you this is where we know, this is the time frame. We know it's this kind of film, this kind of camera. This is where it's located. But that's pretty much it. We don't have any other. Now, is there any chance? I thought about this at first because this is a very, this is something that you've seen a few times online. Where is it possible it could have just been redone by somebody a couple years ago, and it's just a newer shoot?
There is a lot of talk about, there's this whole subset of people who are like conspiracy theorying about it, that it's just a huge like publicity stunt. which I think is hilarious. Like, I mean, of course people are going
to... Oh, that you did the shoot.
Or that I did, or that I am, like, just trying to get 15 minutes of fame with some crazy story.
Okay.
And that was before I actually posted pictures of the transparencies.
Yeah.
And so, but the guy that I did talk to for about 15 minutes, when I was interviewing with one of the local news stations, he had a contact in Richmond who, he was a photojournalist for 50 years. And so he got to look at them hands on, and, he was like, I don't know what film this is, but I know it's really old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so it just because of, I really don't think that it's done recently, unless recently is maybe back in like the 70s.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, my initial thought was it is either the 40s, 50s or 2013, 14. That was my thought. Because right. of the detail and maybe I'm just not giving credence to the quality of or the technology or quality of the cameras and film back then. I'm sure it was amazing. I just don't know. But they're just, and again, if anybody's listening to this and they haven't seen the photos, you just go look. They're incredible. They're incredibly well done.
Yeah. You would be amazed kind of at the quality of photos back then. I think because a lot of people, when they think of film, they don't really comprehend how much you can do with film, especially if you're doing medium format, because already your initial negative or image or your transparency before you ever enlarge it or create bigger photos with it, it's already going to have so much more detail than a 35 millimeter, which is what so many people are used to.
Right.
And especially, I don't know if you've seen, you know, wet plate photography too. Those images are incredibly detailed and yeah. can be super sharp. And I just think a lot of people don't know a lot about film photography in general.
Right.
And so that's where they come, you know, the only thing that they've seen are those hipster indie photographs on like Tumblr or something where it has like the light leaks and the film scratches and all that stuff, which is, you know, the new wave of film photography is, right. you know, Holgas and Diana cameras.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I started shooting film, but it was probably like 10, 15 years ago. And then just from a business standpoint, I still have. I was doing this last night. I was editing last night's wedding last night, and I pulled out a box of old cameras, and I have like 4 film cameras that still have film in them. And I thought, man, I'm going to the beach next week. I should take one of these film cameras with me and just blow through some film. But I don't shoot film, and I just don't pay attention to it. So, man, and that's part of what's intriguing to me about these images is that I guess I get it. I'm being a little naive and not giving credence to how well it can be done. I've done it in the past, not this well, but anyway. So yeah. When we talked a little bit this morning, you said last night or yesterday you had done some more investigating. Did you find anything new?
And it was a total long shot. I had my hopes for yesterday, but we were shot down. We were looking into how the transparencies ended up in Richmond.
Okay.
So we were trying to follow a lead. The women who bought the transparencies that I bought from them, told me that they were bought at this thing called a yard crawl in the Shenandoah Valley.
Okay.
they told me about it. It's like a bar crawl for antiques and thrifters and like flea market aficionados. And it's literally along Route 11. It's 43 miles of just people lined up in lots and in like flea market spaces. And they're just trying to get rid of all of their old stuff or things like that. But it's literally 43 miles of, gosh, you know, hundreds upon hundreds of people selling their stuff. And when I talked to the ladies, they said it was such a crazy day. They weren't sure exactly where they picked them up, because their strategy was grab things that seem interesting. And obviously this was, you know, a group of things that looked interesting. As the world has clearly shown us, it's very interesting.
It's incredibly interesting.
And so, but they said that it was just one of the booths along the side of the side of the road. And so a friend of mine and I took a trip and decided to just start asking around. We went down, you know, a good chunk of the route and just asked everybody we could find. I was like, because they bought it last year, they told me. And they said, so we would ask them, have you ever seen anything like this before? Do you know if anybody has sold anything like this recently? Do you know anybody who has sold a lot of film or old cameras or, you know, film negatives and stuff like that? And most of the people there hadn't even heard about the story because they're one in the Shenandoah Valley. I'm not sure how much they care about viral internet things. and second,
and mountain people.
Right. Well, and then most of them are older, you know, between 50 and 80. And so that's just not something that they're necessarily even concerned with. Most of them knew that it was film and that it was old. But right. Other than that, they unfortunately didn't have very many leads for us. But we told them about the story. We said, keep an eye out if you hear anything. And we just kind of spread it that way. And I don't know, maybe something will come of that. But for now, we don't really have anything new.
Well, I hope you find them. I hope you find the people. I hope you, at the very least, one of the, you know, ladies in the photo, and I hope you find, whether it's an agency or, you know, somebody who knows somebody who shot it. I assume the person who shot it, if it really is the 40s or 50s, is probably dead at this point.
Yeah, that makes it even tougher.
Yeah, but it would be neat if somebody knew, hey, that was my father or uncle or, I just think finding that stuff is, it's just so interesting to me. I always, you know, I have my parents and grandparents' old photos, and I have my grandfather's old cameras, and just when you find something like this, and I know this one is a little bit different, it's just it's so intriguing, and the images are so beautiful. I'm so excited to see what happens, and I really hope that you find something.
Me too. I've put out a bunch of emails for a place called or a show called The Mystery Show, where they It's kind of like a Mystery Inc., you know, Scooby-Doo, where they have a group who investigate things and, you know, solve mysteries. But they only take on a few.
Scooby-Doo. Is there a dog, a talking dog?
No. Who knows? I wouldn't put past, you know, it's 2015.
Sure.
Weirder things have happened.
It's reality TV.
Exactly. But they do a podcast, so I emailed them. I haven't heard back. I've emailed a few other people, a couple archivists and things like that, who might or might not be able to help me out. So we're also, my mom and I were thinking we might maybe take a trip even to California and ask, maybe even just ask around there, maybe ask at nursing homes or something.
Yeah.
Anybody recognizes anything. And the thought is too, it being, these being transparencies, they might not ever have publish these. Like, these might not ever have even gotten to print. So that even makes it even more difficult because, right. you know, who's seen any of these images, actually?
Yeah. And it does definitely seem, if it's for an ad agency of some kind, it seems a little bit progressive for advertising at that time. But who knows?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I hope you find something. I'm excited. You have a hashtag already it's trending. I told someone the other day when I was talking to them about this, I was like, just Google this hashtag. It's everywhere. It's Find the Girls on the Negatives, right?
Yes.
And you can go to Facebook and even just throw that into Facebook. But is it on your photography Facebook page, Megan Abel Photography?
Yes.
And if
you keep everything, because my personal profile isn't fully public.
Okay. I was going to say, if you want to be real creepy and be a real goon, you can just, you know, friend Megan and see the updates there. But
well, I currently have 1,000 friend requests.
Wow.
So I don't recommend that because okay. I don't guarantee that I will actually ever see your friend request.
Holy cow. That's insane.
Yeah.
Do you have like all these random messages? You know, sometimes I'll check my other inbox. I'll forget. I was like, oh, I have another inbox.
And my other inbox is so full. And I keep, in all honesty, ever since last week, I guess, I think it was the 29th of June that it started. And I will get home. And I will spend, you know, a good chunk of time trying to answer messages, answer emails, you know, review information, check the comments for anything.
Right.
And then I'm like, I finally get to a point where I'm like, cool, I'm done. And then I go and I eat dinner and I come back and it's the same thing all over again. But you don't want to miss any comments or anything. Sure. Because who knows where that lead can take you?
Right. Yeah.
Even if it's ridiculous and somebody sends you a message in all caps that it's definitely Amelia Earhart.
Oh, man. That'd be amazing.
There was no. She disappeared in 37. There was no way.
Maybe she, you know, it's the island she crashed on and apparently she crashed with somebody else, and maybe that's who it is. They took the, those are the last photos. And
wouldn't that be the coolest thing ever? I know, that's like you hope for the story ever.
The other girl, it's just they crashed on an island full of like women, you know, in red dresses, and they just caught one photo of this island girl in the red dress, and that's that.
That would be amazing.
We've solved the mystery.
We've solved it. That's it. proof. Who cares?
Yeah, you know. Well, yeah, that's amazing. But so you can find them on Facebook, find you on Facebook. The story is everywhere. If you have not heard about it and you're a photographer, you can crawl out from underneath your rock and just Google. It's out there. It's everywhere. It's incredible. I really appreciate you doing this. I'm excited to see what happens. I'm sure you'll find the story behind it. It just will be a matter of time.
Yeah, it's only been a week and a half.
Right.
These can take time.
All right, guys, that's it. I hope you enjoyed that. That was super interesting. I love that. I love stories like that. I hope that they find the full story behind the transparencies for the positive there. That's amazing. Don't forget, check out www.samstroudphoto.com. Head over to the store. Use the promo code SSPPODCAST. Get 20% off. Don't forget about Pixie Set. Find them online, pixieset.com. Check out Megan Abel's work online. All right, guys, have a good week. Oh,
That's true.